Today, chap.
Yeah.
We're getting into it. Stop getting ghosted with today's tips. And if you're someone who ghosts people, we've got some alternative ways to be a better human so you can karmatically call in what you deserve. All right. I feel like both of you and I broached this subject in a lot of different ways, but never through this route. So I love that we're talking about ghosting because it's so prevalent in the world today, especially the dating world, of course, but even in like business or even like people who just don't reply to you, they could be friends or whatever. And you're like, what the hell is it? Like, is there something wrong with me? Right. And that's where that goes. And it's kind of cruel because it usually has nothing to do with the person who's being ghosted.
Well, and some of the time too. I mean, that's just going to say this is we all know it. Well, why don't you describe what ghosting is? Let's do that first.
I mean, by now everyone knows, but ghosting is essentially where the typical form of it would be you go on a date with someone, maybe you have a sexual encounter with someone, and then they never text you back. You've sent a couple nudges, you've given them a call or whatever it is, and they just evaporate. They're MIA.
Okay, so I think that's the kind of the definition that we think of or the cause of when we say ghosting, what we should think or what we think. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've experienced situations where I've obviously not involved in this person, but my spouse likes to ghost me a lot. and she admits she sees the phone ringing and it's me and she's like, I'm not going to answer it. Like, what the hell? Yeah, anyway, it's like, oh God. But anyway, no, but there are people out there that just are not good texters. That's just how it is.
Sure, you know? But so we're not talking about that.
I guess that's the point.
We're talking about people who are afraid of confrontation and afraid to feel the pain that happens whenever we let someone else feel pain. And sometimes we do that through being truthful. So this conversation is really about honesty, right? This is about how honesty is so underrated, how we have such weak nervous systems at this time in the world where we literally won't confront each other with the truth, which is doing a full-blown disservice, not just to the other person, but to ourselves, because now we're just weakening. We have no workout practice for our nervous system.
Yeah, very true. I mean, I think the thing about, I guess, you know, when you're one of these people that, you know, you're say a relationship and you maybe had a good date or whatever.
Yeah.
And the
let's run through like what you would say.
Let's run through a scenario, right?
Yeah. So it didn't work out, right? And you mm-hmm. didn't feel the connection.
So here's a scenario. You and I. Well, let's pretend we're the avatars for whoever we're thinking
sure.
of.
Sure.
We go on a date, and I think I'm the guy, and I think we had a good time, and I think you laughed a couple times, mm-hmm. and you need to play with your hair, whatever. And I have this signal that I think that I did pretty well.
And but I go home, and I'm like, nah, that wasn't exactly
right.
It, and I for whatever
you,
my
like,
reasons are.
Yeah. Now, and what will typically happen? Maybe I'll text you, and I'll say, hey, or the guy will text you. And say, hey, I had a great night. Would you like to hang out again? And then what happens?
Right. Okay. So then I have the opportunity there to be honest. I could, first of all, placate, which is also dishonest, and say something like, yeah, for sure. Like, I'll hit you up next week and we'll see, you know, something. Or I'm really busy, but I'll get back to you when I have some more time to do that, whatever it is. Oh. All dishonest, right? Because I've already decided that wasn't really the connection I'm looking for. A lot of that has to do with putting people in their back, putting people on the back burner just in case, which is so gross. It's just not an integrity. Like, would you want to be treated that way? No, you don't want to be someone's back burner,
because you might have another opportunity yourself and you're hoping that this person, it works out and you're
right.
like, you're dismissing.
You're keeping a door kind of open, you know?
No, but
in
I'm
the
saying
background.
For the victim of the, not victim, but for the receiver of being ghosted or the receiver of that, it's like, how do you know he doesn't, you know, he was giving you the chance, but he has somebody else he kind of likes.
Or he's keeping the door open with you and it doesn't allow him to go look in other ways.
That's right.
Which
exactly.
is just an unfair thing to do.
The whole thing's messed
up. Yeah, it's not right and it's not an integrity. It's not honest. So we're talking about, you know, just hypothetically going through this scenario. So that's one way
I could
do it.
Well, one extreme would be just not responding.
Well, that's the extreme
right.
I'm getting to. So just not responding, which is ghosting, right? Now I'm not even it's not even, not even, this is just as bad as giving a fake answer or untruthful answer, because that still prolongs the suffering. And I think that's what the ghoster thinks, is that, well, if I just ghost them, it doesn't prolong their suffering. No, it absolutely does, because they just don't even know where you stand at all. So the key thing, the obvious thing to do would be give an honest response. And I think, you know, just to give people at home an honest response that they can practice. Yeah. That, and I don't know that they can tolerate it. That's the thing they'll have to practice, is being able to tolerate what comes up for them whenever they are typing and texting in this response or calling someone and giving this response. But essentially it would be something along the lines of, I had a really nice time with you and I think you're a lovely person, but I'm not feeling the connection I was looking for. And I wish you well, you know, I wish you the best, and that's it. And even if you think about how, you know, sending that, I think for people, the train of thought that happens is, I don't want to hurt somebody. Mm-hmm. You're hurting somebody 10 times over by ghosting them in the first place, because now they are in what I would call long-term suffering, the long-term waiting game, instead of just, like, you know, kind of ripping the Band-Aid off nicely, not fast, but nicely, right, and direct to the point, and speaking through truth and love, like we just, like I just gave you an example of, where you're telling them something that, yeah, it doesn't make them feel great, because of course everybody wants to be wanted by everybody, but the reality is we're not all compatible. And with that taking off the Band-Aid, you know, and telling the truth, they finally get to go through what I call short-term suffering. So we always want short-term suffering versus long-term suffering, right? We want to, okay, yes, we're going to feel hurt, you know, for the person getting told that we're not, we're not the connection they were looking for. But at least we can go, okay, well, they were really clear. They were kind about how they delivered that. We can make up all kinds of things about what that means about ourselves and then project it onto them. But that's really our side of the street and our business to figure out. The reality is they were honest and they were truthful, and it makes it a lot easier for us to go, all right, I'm getting hit with reality. It sucks because it's not the connection, you know, that I thought we were having, but now I can at least close that door and move forward, instead of staying in the suffering of, like, well, maybe that guy will show up, or maybe that girl will text me back finally, or maybe she'll pick up the phone this time. Yeah.
So. Okay. And from the ghostee's perspective, because that's kind of shame. Don't be a ghoster, is, I guess, our initial point, and why, sure, and how you can do it in a way that is a little more nice or tolerable, yeah, or short-term suffering. But in the receiving of the being ghosted, you know, I get a date with whoever this theoretical person is, and I think it was great. You know, maybe I talked too much, I don't know. And, you know, I'm like, oh, maybe I text her, I don't know, okay. And then I text you and I'm like, hey, I hope you had a good time. You want to, you know, whatever, go out again.
Right.
And you ghost me. So here's, I guess, the thought is, what do you do when you know when you are being ghosted? You text the person 100 times and they were going to respond. Obviously, you don't get to that point. But how many should you, because I do know people, both guys and girls, that are really, like I said, just bad texters. So here's a scenario. Okay. Here's the scenario. I'm a guy. I have a nice date with you. I think it went well. And I text you, I had a nice time, like to see you again. Mm-hmm. Let me know when you're in town, whatever. Uh-huh. And you read it, and what's maybe, I'm just throwing a scenario on your end, you read it and like, oh yeah, he's a nice guy. You know, I'm going to be out of town for a week, but I'll hit him up when I get back in town. And you're like, all right, I'm about to get in a car. I'll text him later. Ooh, because that happens. A lot of people I know, they do that and then they forget. And so the thing
I think we're talking about friends, and we're talking about, you know, work associates and people that are not looking for mutually, you know, romantic.
Okay, so what you're saying is it's a one strike rule. So basically, I mean, I guess what I'm trying to extract from you is this, because I, you know, is if I'm the guy and I text you and I say, I had a nice time, and you don't respond, like, is it a one strike rule, like where I'm done, don't text her again?
Definitely.
Okay.
And
so
I would
one,
say,
so one strike.
Yes, okay. Absolutely. Because here's the thing, when we're talking about romantic partnerships, we're single and we're looking for somebody that we want to spend time with, we are probably stuck to our phones a lot of the time, but even if we have discipline to put it down here and there, we're still going to check on it because that's something important to us. First of all, if you're going to be out in the dating world, right? If you're going to be matching up with people, finding out if you're compatible or not, one of the first things you want to know about compatibility with that person is if they're going to prioritize you.
Well,
so
true.
if they're if you're not on the back of their mind while you're dating them, trust.
Okay, so another practical
way to
think
of their mind later.
Well, another practical way to think of it is she cared one way or the other. One way or the other, and she reflected on her date or just cares. She's going to be like, oh my God, I didn't text him back.
Yeah,
and it's she'll be like, why didn't he text me yet? Oh, he did.
Cared enough to be in relationship, in a romantic relationship with, because that is someone you're going to want to prioritize to a degree that's fairly high as it goes, you know, along among other relationships in your life, like friendships and work associates and such. You may deprioritize your coworker who texts you or your friend that texts you, because you can get back to them in a few days. You're still going to be friends. You're still going to be coworkers. But your romantic partner, someone who you're looking to intimately like connect with,
share a life with. Yeah, I guess though, some of the times though, can't a friendship turn into a romantic situation? And then you'd hope that friend wouldn't then ghost you because it turns potentially romantic.
Well, but if it turned potentially, first of all, I don't think a friendship where you're not really looking at each other's texts with that in mind is going to be anywhere close to turning into a romantic relationship. It would turn into a romantic relationship when you all start prioritizing yourselves, each other in a way that resembles a romantic relationship.
Okay, right.
Now, so, yeah, I think I think if you send a text and she doesn't reply to you, or vice versa, he sends a text she sends a text and you don't reply to her. That's it. I mean, if you don't want to, and the thing is, it's like, okay, well, how many days do I wait? How many, you know, what is the time frame? And it's like, if someone doesn't reply to you within 24 hours of your text message, that's it.
Okay. So that's good. And especially now, because like my phone will actually tell me, like if I text somebody and I ask a question, I guess it knows, or somebody texts me and I read it and I didn't respond, it will remind me and it will bump it to the top of my text list and say, do you want to respond to this person or do you want to follow up with this? I'm like, genius.
That is genius.
It's genius.
That's great. But it's also, you know, we're talking about.
Well, I guess to your point is it's hard to use these excuses for
come on.
So let me ask you this. I'm a guy and I'm suspected of, I don't want to get ghosted. So I go on a date. I think I had a nice time. And I'm like, oh, I'm worried about getting ghosted, but I haven't even sent the first text out. Is there a way, this is very practical, but is there a way to text the, in this case, guy to female, I'm texting a female, to say, to in a way, because if I don't text, then I'm not going to get ghosted because I never texted her.
So now you're just playing it so safe.
Well, you're not going to do that. Assuming you're not going to do that, which is a bad idea, and I'm sure some people do, is there a way to text where you're giving them the out, or don't even do that? Just say, I had a nice time. When do you want to hang out again?
So,
like, I guess now I'm getting it the morning after text, not morning after hooking up. I'm just saying, you had a nice date.
No, if you've already sent, okay, I'm confused. No, if you're already sent a text that says, hey, I had
yet.
A great
no,
time.
No, I haven't done that yet. I'm just saying,
so
I'm
why are you trying
it.
To give them the out if you're actually interested in them?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You shouldn't.
No.
Well, okay,
if you try to give them the out when you actually are interested in them, that's you being essentially avoidant and so afraid of.
So don't do that.
Yeah, that's a commitment issue.
That's what I'm. Because there's a scale. I'm on one end of the scale. It's like, hey. That's right. Over here. You don't want to do that. But on the other end of the scale, it's just, I'm not going to text her because then I won't get ghosted. You're not going to do that.
It's absolutely an immaturity when we want to be chased. Right? So when we want to be the person who's being pursued to a degree that we cannot deny that this person, that we have power over this person now, because they are submitting to us, essentially, that they literally submitting to us, but you know, because we're now in the power dynamic, we're on the top of that or whatever. They are showing us their vulnerable cards, right? They're showing us that they're interested, very interested. Now they're chasing, and now they've become desperate. So now, not only did we not give them a fair chance to have a relationship with an equal, we took the power by creating this chase scenario. And it's a very unintegral thing to do. But then we went farther with that, because what always happens in that dynamic is that you start losing respect for the person who's chasing you, and you become like almost disgusted with them or avoidant of them.
Yeah, but I guess agreed. But I guess from a practical standpoint, and you're the guy and you don't want to be with a woman who wants to be chased too much.
Exactly.
That's
it goes
point.
Both ways. And that's
so you
really
have to be
tricky
able to identify,
because a lot of people, both men and women, and we can just speak about women in this situation, want to be chased because it feels like security, but it's false security, because it creates this dynamic, this power struggle where one person is always losing. And you don't want to be with a loser. You want to both be on the same team and be winning.
But that's what the girl's thinking. I don't want to be with a loser. But however, if I'm the guy, I'm like, what indication am I getting if she just wants to be chased by inferior versus superior? Why? How is she going to act when we are in a relationship? She succumbed to my chase. How is she going to act once we're in a relationship long term?
Well, and that is this tricky thing that we do. It's a little dance we do. And the beauty of, you know, intimate relationships when people are actually on the growth path together and they're both trying to have a conscious relationship and conscious love is about growing through that. So most relationships probably started with one or the other chasing each other. One probably had a little more investment than the other. And that's what chemistry actually is someone's going to be more of the anxiously attached coming toward, the other's going to end up more of the avoidantly attached pulling away. And that dynamic just kind of happens. Usually you're both go towards each other. And once you both feel that security, like, oh, we're going to be together, one ends up more in that pulling away, starting to create the chase, and the other goes toward and goes toward, and it creates kind of a sick cycle. Sometimes one person pulls back away the person who was coming towards and chasing. They get fed up with it, and they're like, fuck this. So they turn away, and as soon as that happens, the person who is being chased turns back. It's very annoying.
That's exactly
annoying.
What I'm thinking. I think that's the reality. I think that's the problem.
An immaturity.
And I think what ends up happening is, and this is, you know, saying something that I've observed, right? I haven't experienced it myself, but I've observed it in other unrelated people,
right.
Is, you know, and I'm going to just kind of throw this out there, and this is an overgeneralization, right?
Sure.
But what happens is, you know, young guy meets young, attractive female, he's chased her, they get in a relationship, and then, you know, she's so used to people buying her drinks, opening the door for her, doing all these things because she was young and attractive. And then she starts to get a little older, and then he gets maybe make a little more money at work, or he's aging well and she's not aging well, and then she looks at him as, man, he's kind of good looking, and he's all these, you know, younger whatevers are after him, or I think they're after him. And then you get to be really jealous because he's got tired of your shit, even though you're married or you're in a relationship, and he's like, I don't need to impress you anymore. I don't really care.
Right.
And he's just become secure. And that's really cool. And I feel like for the guy,
cool.
And for the guy,
and
because I'm speaking as a guy, and I think it's cool because you see that confidence in these older dudes that are like, I got a job, I'm in charge, I'm higher rank in my job, I'm just successful. And I've determined, because I've discovered this journey through, you know, people like me and you and whatever, that I don't need somebody else to make me feel whole.
This is scary because this is the place where this is why hyper independent women go into that toxic zone of like, fuck this. I'm not going to be left by another man who's decided he's God's gift now. And so I'm going to do everything myself. And it goes to an extreme that's unhealthy.
Well, and I think that was a relative of mine to some degree, and I saw it because she had been through multiple men. And the thing is, marital situations. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I guess, is now the woman is in some age where she can't walk into a bar and the music stop and everybody looks at her.
Right.
It's not going to happen forever, ladies. And the guys, you know that too. It's not going to happen to these women, but the guys have the staying power. And it's one of the unfortunate parts about this relationship, but in a way, it's kind of, I guess when I tell a younger person that I know who's a relative and I tell them, don't worry about it because I know you're on the hunt and you're thinking, oh, does she like me? Does he, you know, whatever. There's going to be a time where you're the man and it's going to be, the roles will be reversed to some degree and you might not see it, but it's kind of sad and a little bit tragic for some women because now they're coming to this realization that, wow, like, I hope he really loves me for me. And it's not about the chase anymore. And it's really, the man needs to detect in that woman if you as the man were falling into that trap that she set. Because not that she did it on purpose, but if she did, really bad. Because one day the kids are going to be off to college, you know, and the guy is still going to be him. He's still going to work. He's still going to have his buddies and he's going to age like fine wine. And she's going to be looking in the mirror and be like, what the hell did I set this whole thing up for?
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm kind of elaborating. I'm going down this rabbit hole and I get it. But I guess my point is to the guys is don't be that guy where you chase that girl too much because It's going to be, because you're going
to
be the guy.
Yeah, I think that's impossible to ask of humans, because that is part of our nature, is to do this dance, this ritual of...
Well, to a certain degree, though. You don't want to...
Or dating and mating. And it's an important ritual that we go through where we do have a little bit of chase. We have, we want to make sure that that person is worthy of our time. We want to, you know, make sure they're persistent enough. They show up, all the things. And that takes a little bit of that chase dynamic, I think. But again, it's about once you find a person that matches with you in a lot of ways that feel really good, and you both decide you're on the same team, you're going to have a conscious relationship, you're going to continue growing forever together. Growing, like, that means doing your own inner work, maybe going together and doing work together, whether that's with, you know, counselors or however you do
that. Or just, or your church can be the church of the motorcycle.
It can be,
in my case.
It can be anything.
It can be anything, as long as it's
whatever ways it's about connecting and getting closer, right? And understanding each other better, helping each other work through things and heal stuff, the old stuff that's all stuck in there, that relational traumas that have to be healed in relationship. So it can start from a more juvenile, more immature, and maybe even more primal place, where it's the dance of the, you know, dating and mating dance. That's just like all of our you know, animal ancestors. But because we have consciousness on board, because we are these very privileged humans with these giant brains, we get the opportunity to bring that consciousness on board in relationship and mature through. Maturing looks like healing all the shit together, you know, healing all the stuff that happened before we even ever met each other, and going through the motions of doing the work together and separately on ourselves to become better people that are deciding over and over and committing over and over to be on the same team and work towards the same goals, you know, the goals that we've set together, and we move towards those things on purpose, intentionally together, which creates this thing that surpasses looks and aging and all that. Because when you build such an intimate understanding of another person and you allow yourself to be seen on such an intimate level, you don't get to just date the next hot young girl if you're the guy in the situation, or as the woman, you don't get to just date the next rich guy who thinks you're cute, or whatever the idea would be from that immature state, to replace the person that you've built this intimate connection with. You don't even have the desire to anymore, to that degree, that would cause you to be.
Yeah, but I guess, agreed. I agree. Listen, I thank God I'm not in the dating world. Like, I really am so happy to not have to engage in this initial dance anyway, but everybody did at one point. But I feel like assuming you have matured to some degree, okay, and I'm not saying you're 18, I'm saying assuming you've matured to some degree in your life, mm-hmm. and at whatever age that typically occurs, at whatever. But don't you, if you can be have a tuned radar and you find someone that you genuinely have fun with, you genuinely get along, and you guys don't have to share a lot of hobbies or the music. Like my spouse, we don't listen to the same. I mean, I don't, music to us, and even movies. She loves horror films. I don't like horror movies. She loves certain kind of music. I don't listen to that kind of music, right? But the fact is there is this chemistry that is hard to define. And I have friends that are like this, so we don't really, I don't golf with them. I'm not an accountant. I've got somebody who I'm really close with who's an accountant, and he's a huge golfer and he's a sports guy. We don't have any of that in common, mm-hmm. but there's this chemistry there, this bond and this relationship that you don't really need to, you foster it, but you don't need to hyper worry about it, because you already set the foundation, and the foundation is solid, so that when there are these little bumps in the road, it's not a big deal because the foundation's so solid. And like, I guess what I'm wondering is there are scenarios where you really have to work with the other person all the time. But I guess what I'm asking is, if the foundation is solid, the work is pretty easy.
You ever been around someone who you didn't necessarily notice even as attractive in the first place, but then you spent more time with them and you really got to know their personality,
yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
they become one of the most beautiful souls, the most beautiful people. You have all the respect in the world. You even become attracted to them because of their inner, I know it's so cheesy to say, but their the knowing of their inner beauty becomes apparent to you, and it's loud. So then you now see them as actually a really attractive person.
Well, that's how it should
be. You start seeing even angles of their face and their body that you can see as attractive. I mean, you can grow the attraction in that way. It's the same kind of idea when we, it's, you know, maybe it's done in a backwards way when we age next to a person, but it's the same idea of as you get to know somebody, their physical characteristics become, it's not that they're less important, you're able to see the beauty in all the different layers of them as they
Well, I guess I should have clarified, because I'm not talking about physical beauty at all. I'm just talking about the underlying, what you just said, the underlying chemistry of what, and I don't mean attractive physically, I'm just saying the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their attitude, their humor, their goofiness, whatever it is. I mean, that's what I'm telling you, if the chemistry's not there to begin with, and I mean, I don't mean the physical beauty, I want to hook up with them chemistry,
mm-hmm.
but the, I don't know, I'm going to say really something simple, but you have the same religion, your political views are the similar,
yeah.
you know, all these things, but they, you know, but they might not be the 10, they might be the whatever, but you don't care because they're fun to hang out with. You guys have hobbies you like to do together and everything lines up. And so when there is a bump in the road, it's so much easier to work through it because you still have that foundation that's rock solid. I guess it's kind of what I mean.
Yeah. You're on the same team.
You're on the same team.
Yeah. And it is.
And I guess, but this gets back to the point of the ghosting. Mm-hmm. And that is a dead giveaway of that. You probably don't have chemistry with this person. If they ghosted you, either it's because the things they're dealing with in life, or they're just really bad at communicating to you that they don't think you're the one.
Right.
But either way, get away from it. It's done.
And I think what we do is we stew, if we're ghosted, we stew in this, what's wrong with me? What do I need to change? And if you're getting ghosted often, it's because your desired partner is not defined yet. You have not done the work to define who you're looking for. Instead, you're just trying, you're desperately trying to be wanted. You know, you're desperately trying to just be accepted by the other person.
So I agree with that.
Figuring out what's compatible for you.
I hear that, right? I hear you on that. I don't, and I agree. However, I'm not, and maybe because I am more fluid in, I'm an adaptable thing. And if you lined up on paper, you know, my significant other on paper before, not now, but before, it would be like, okay, they really, the only thing they objectively have in common is they like cats. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started hanging out with her, I'm like, oh, she's funny. She's goofy, you know, whatever. And it builds and builds and builds and builds and builds. And then you realize this person for me is really a really good thing. And so, but in order for me to have known that, I would have had to hang out with her. And that's why it's okay to get in a relationship for a couple months and you break up because it wasn't headed in the right direction. What you thought had this great chemistry ended up not being the case. Mm-hmm. And I'm not in the dating world, but I do have a occasion to submit something that I'm very passionate and I'm in love with, like writing, right? Mm-hmm. And we talk about this. It's a similar, I submit to an agent. Okay. I have this work of art that I created. I spent years and years and years on, and anybody that's a real writer, you know, this, it's, these people are more real to you or as real to you than the real people that you interact with. Right. And all you want is the world that for the rest of the world, other people to be able to dip into your world and see how beautiful it is. Okay.
Right.
So when you submit to agents, okay. And some agents are really good about letting you down. Some ghost the hell out of you, which is what they,
right.
They mostly do that. Mm-hmm. And they ghost you. They ghost you. And they'll even say, we're going to ghost you.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't use the word ghost. If we don't respond within da 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 da, assume we don't like your
right.
work. No, F you. Because I'm going to just go out on a limb here and be a little overly confident. I know what I wrote is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I wouldn't have written it or I wouldn't have edited it. I would have spent years and years. So I know to me that it's mm-hmm. awesome. And I also know, because I'm a little older, how successful that I am. And I probably know that I know more about the real world than you do, agent, a lot more. Okay.
So when you bring that back to the dating table.
So what I'm saying is So what I'm saying is when you submit and you text, hey, I had a really good time. Okay. And she's just anything but, well, let's hang out again.
Right.
Don't worry about it. I mean, just don't worry about it. Don't even self-reflect. Who cares? Now, if you, and what I'm saying is if it keeps happening, then you probably need to. But I guess what I'm saying is we're giving people the tools to think about things and think about them and think about them. And you should, but you should also not worry about certain things. And if things happen once or twice, it's just the universe, man. But if things happen over and over and over and over again, then start thinking, well, maybe it's me. But if she ghosts you and then the next girl ghosts you, it's like, whatever. You know, now if it keeps happening and it starts to become like you see a pattern or whatever, you say this one thing, like you bring up politics too soon and you start talking about it. Okay, yeah. But I guess if she's ghosting, that's her problem, right?
I think if you're being ghosted, it's not helpful to read into it very far.
That's exactly.
But it's also a thing to recognize in yourself that you are attracting people who...
Yeah, but if it happened once, you're not. That's just random. That's just how it is. You get in one car accident, it doesn't mean you're a horrible driver.
Right. But I think there is something to, you know, what you're saying about script writing or, book writing or whatever it is, story writing, that you want to be seen for your story. You know, you want to be seen for your art.
Well, I don't, but I want my art to be seen. And maybe that's where...
You wanted people to be able to dip into your world.
Right.
Okay. So the idea is when you go on a date, you want to be able to connect with someone enough that they can dip into your world. You want to feel interested in, you want to feel seen and acknowledged. And when someone ghosts you, you essentially feel like this is the story in your head. You weren't acknowledged, you were seen and you weren't worth acknowledging
but to that person, because
right.
like,
that's, what I'm, no, no, that's right. the story that we start in our head when we get ghosted is that we're not somehow worthy of acknowledgement. Our story is not worthy of being dipped into.
And to all the writers out there, that has happened to you, every time that's happened, it's going to happen to you 100 times before hopefully you get someone to accept, at least respond.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it's tragic. It's not cool. And it's whatever.
Well, ghosting isn't something for us to correct if we're the one being ghosted.
But same with the agent. There's nothing you can do to correct it. That's just them and that's their policy. So this woman, she's a ghoster and she ghosted you.
Right.
And it says she's a lot probably about ghosted her. Other people too.
Right. It says a lot about her character. So just as you wouldn't want to have that agent, you wouldn't want to date that person that's willing to just leave people dangling and drifting in the wind. Because what does that mean in a partner, right? So it's a really easy way to clear out what you don't want. And again, I think it's so much about getting really clear on what you desire in a person. Because as soon as you're clear that you don't want a person who would ever ghost, you don't want a person who would ever not be honest about what they want.
Yeah,
then
and I think
you go, you get ghosted, and you go, "Cool, that was obviously not fitting my list."
That's the point, and it's not that you maybe didn't know what you wanted. It's that she just wasn't. She told you she wasn't what she wanted by ghosting you.
Right.
It's not that you did anything. I guess what I'm saying is maybe I shouldn't go after girls with this personality type and this employment. No. It's that she's a ghoster, and she ghosted you. That's it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So I think
we're saying the same thing, basically.
Yeah, basis is that when we're coming from that place of scarcity, we're coming from that fear of loneliness, and we're going into a relationship, into a dating situation, and we're trying to get liked, and we're trying to just be wanted and be picked because we think that's going to put us in the power position of, okay, now I can be the one who decides if I'm going to stick around or not.
Oh.
It actually creates like a sense of desperation because we're just wanting to be chosen, and it doesn't do anybody any favors. So it really is about figuring out, like you were talking about, how to be solidly in yourself, right? Like how to understand what you're bringing into the relationship, you know, what you're bringing to the table at a date, what you're coming with. And that takes some work. We have an episode on what you bring to the table in relationship, where we'll dive deeper into that. But I just want to say from my personal experience, it's been this journey that I went through where I was, I've had looks on board for a long time for myself. And so it's been easy to attract a variety of men, but I still had the sense of scarcity and fear of being alone to a degree, you know, that's just, it comes from this like childhood need for our caregivers' attention, and it's a survival mechanism, and it's what creates that fear of abandonment that we all really have at the core. And I went into relationships with that scarcity on board, with that wanting to be fully accepted and liked and picked off the bat. I think we all want to be fully accepted, but we think that being picked is like an indicator of that. And it is only like the smallest drop in the bucket on our road to really getting into that full acceptance part. And if you align with someone who decides to ghost you, you're not aligned really. If you end up in a date with someone who then ends up ghosting you, you can know right off the bat that they are not going to be a person who fully accepts you, who doesn't ever abandon you, you know, and it's an easy way to just check that one off the list and move.
Well, yeah. And this is going to be some really simple for like a simpleton for me saying this, but you remember back in school, they're picking teams for flag football, if they even play that anymore, or baseball or kickball or whatever they're playing. And you have, okay, somebody, the PE coach or whatever designates the team captains, and little Johnny gets to pick he gets picked, then Sally gets to pick, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. Well, Johnny never picks the best player. He picks his friend. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you're then like the third or second to last to get picked. I don't care because I know Johnny picked, and I'm saying this as an adult, I don't care because Johnny just picked his friend first. Okay. And I know I'm as good as they are. So the thing is just because you didn't pick me first, or just because you ghosted me, doesn't mean a freaking thing to you. It's just, she just sucks basically.
Yeah, I think it's so easy for us to say, you know, we don't give a fuck, but we do give a fuck.
Yeah, we do. That's the whole reason we have a show. That's the whole reason we have this show, is we do care. And what we're trying to tell you is it's not you.
Yeah.
It's her or whoever is on the one doing it. Don't worry about it.
Right. Well, here's the twist of it is that it is the you that it is that you have to work on. The part that you need to take responsibility for is whatever part of you gets really
nervous. Oh, I see. Yeah, if you get upset about it, why is that?
Right, because whole conversation we derailed heavily. But the whole conversation was about weak nervous systems, essentially, like where we're not able to confront people with the truth and say that through love. We're not able to stand in a strong nervous system and watch someone else feel pain that we inflicted on them because we were telling the truth in a loving way, which of course we don't want to be violent or cause pain to people without any thought to it. But sometimes the truth does hurt, but it hurts a lot less than dragging them through the mud for a long time with lies or with, you know, pushing them off or ghosting them and this type of thing. So it is always about coming back to how do you strengthen your nervous system? So if you get in, just to keep in line with what we're talking about today, if you get ghosted and it feels like a really, you know, it puts you in a weak nervous system state or an anxious state, then it is important that you do give a fuck, but you don't have to give a fuck about what that other person is doing. You need to give a fuck about how you respond when that happens to you. How do you strengthen your nervous system? How do you self-regulate, self-soothe, and come back to yourself, have your own back, literally, have your own spine, your nervous system, so that you can move forward without completely crumbling.
Yeah, but agreed. I agree 100% with this. I'm just throwing a different curveball at it. And I think that the thing is that's being alive too. The fact that, you know, you get ghosted and you feel like, oh, what did I do? Oh my God, whatever. That's called living. And it's okay that you feel that way. Mm-hmm. It's totally okay. And is it good to feel that way? A little bit. But you shouldn't let it beat you up, right?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
If it is beating you up, you need to figure out why it's beating you up. And maybe you need to talk to some of your friends or an expert, therapist,
right. Whatever. If there's shame around it, something you really need to
And you'll
work
know,
on.
It's kind of like, I think it's the same with like, I don't know, OCD or something. Like it's okay to worry when you get fired. Where's my next job going to be? That's totally normal. But if you get rehired and you're comfortable in the new job, but then you start worrying you're going to get hired and then it negatively affects your job and then it's this cycle. okay, that's a different thing. So it's kind of like when you go to give a speech, right? I've given a lot of speeches, a lot of talks, okay? I teach stuff, you know, and the first couple of times you're nervous, and that's awesome. Mm-hmm. It's a great feeling because you have to remind yourself that's what it's called to be alive. And so it's fine. Like I guess my point is all these feelings that you have are totally fine. It's just, if it's bothering you or driving you crazy, then maybe you need to think about it.
Yes. I think, we always need to think about it.
Right. That's why we're here.
Yeah.
Right.
And just to round this all out, I think, we are just little, you know, nervous system stuck in mushy little bodies. So we are quite vulnerable just generally. And, it's our individual job to figure out how to protect ourselves enough that allows us to stay open and vulnerable enough to connect with other individuals. So it's very tricky. This isn't an easy thing we do as humans trying to navigate the world of relationships, but it's the most important thing we figure out how to do. And I don't know how much of this conversation, you know, made sense or resonated for whoever's watching, but I think taking just that general idea of your, just thinking about you as a nervous system inside of a body and really checking in with how that thing is doing in the midst of something like being ghosted, where you could get really, you know, triggered and really angry and can want to throw it aside and not give a shit and compartmentalize it, whatever, to consider what's actually going on there, because it's always indicating where you need to spend more time with yourself, figuring stuff out, building your own confidence, getting to know yourself better. So, all right, you guys, that's it for this one. Please subscribe, comment, connect, and do that through the links below. Of course, share this episode with anyone who might need to hear it. We'll catch you again next week. And as always, I'm reminding you that you already are.